Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. We are continuing our series looking at the 12 apostles. Next up, Thaddeus, a lesser-known apostle whose question to Jesus inspired one of the most beautiful teachings by Jesus about the Holy Spirit. And so we turn it over now to Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning, men. Man of the Mirror Bible Study, I welcome to you. We are in this series getting to know the 12 disciples. Before we get going, let's give a shout out to the guys who are going to be with us in the podcast on the count of three. One, two, three. Hoorah! Welcome, guys. We're glad to have you with us. Today, we're going to be talking about Thaddeus, and it's just amazing what he unleashed. So, Thaddeus. There are five mentions of Thaddeus in the Bible, but with different names. In Matthew and Mark, he's called Thaddeus. There are three lists of the disciples. There are actually four, three in the Gospels and then one in the book of Acts. And in Matthew and Mark, he's called Thaddeus. Thaddeus has something to do with being the hard and being courageous and things like this. Probably a surname. Some of the early church fathers actually called this, said that this was the surname, like the last name. So most of you call me Pat, right? Some of the things you call me, I probably don't want to know, but some of you call me Pat. Every now and then, one of you will call me Patrick, and then some of you say, Hey, Morley. And that's very understandable way of communicating, and that will help you understand that this is probably like a last name, a surname. And then, in the Luke passage, he's called Judas, son of James, and since Luke wrote Luke and Acts, he also calls him Judas, son of James, in the book of Acts. And then John, in his gospel, calls him Judas, not Judas Iscariot, so to make that distinction between this Judas and the traitor. And then, of course, Luke was making the same distinction there. Let's begin by looking at Jesus' final small group meeting. This is Da Vinci's remastered, if you will, to give it more color, but this is Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. This was the last small group meeting that Jesus had. And it's interesting because if you go back and you look at it, there's a dialogue that's going on. So Peter asks Jesus a question. They're sitting around. Peter asks Jesus a question and he gives an answer. And then Philip says something. And then Thomas says something, and then it says this. Jesus made a comment, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." And then Judas, again, not Judas Iscariot or Thaddeus, then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Fascinating question here. And because it's a dialogue, Jesus is answering these questions that the disciples are asking. They've been told that like this is our last meeting. It'd be like if I said to you, next week, Man in the Mirror Bible Study is coming to an end. That'll be our last meeting. So come with your questions, and we'll talk about anything that's left unsaid that you want to know about. All right, that's what's going on here. And so Jesus has been speaking, and he said, before long, the world, and when the Bible talks about the world, when Jesus talks about the world, we're not talking about the whole world, all of God's creation. When the Bible talks about the world in this context, it's talking about that part of the world that's unredeemed. That part of the world that's unredeemed. More can be said about that, and we will say more again on another day, but before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. So he's saying to the disciples, okay, you're going to see me, the world's not going to see me, and Jesus is thinking of the unredeemed world. Then Judas said, but Lord, why? Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Well, it's interesting, because Jesus does not next what he often does. He edits the question, and he answers the question that the disciples should have been asking. He's asking why, but Jesus says, here's how you will see me again. So he's saying, well, why are you not going to show yourself to the world? Jesus said, no. That's not the question that we want to deal with here. The issue here is not why we're not going to show you the world. The question is how you are going to see me again. And so, back to the scene, at the bottom here, it says, Jesus replied in John chapter 14, verses 23 through chapter 16, And he goes on to talk about, Jesus talks about how we, as the disciples, are going to be able to see him again. And most of it is about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read some scriptures and just drink this in. So this is the lead up to his question from John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the Spirit, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And then he said a few more things. And then Judas asks this question. Thaddeus asks this question. But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to the world, not to us? Show yourself to us and not to the world. And then from verses 23 in this chapter all the way through chapter 16, verse 16, we get some of the most precious thoughts of Jesus that were ever uttered. Things that we only know because this disciple on our behalf asked this question, Thaddeus, the disciple. In the apocryphal literature, he probably was from Edessa, Greece. He was of Hebrew descent, and he had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about John the Baptist. He came to Jerusalem to become a disciple of John the Baptist and get baptized, learned about Jesus, started following Jesus around, and then was invited to be one of the 12 disciples. According to the apocryphal literature, went back to Edessa, converted the king. The king there had an incurable disease. He was healed and became a follower. And then Thaddeus and the king, Agbar, the king in Edessa, Greece, northern part of Greece, they got rid of all the idol worship. They built churches. He became an evangelist and moved around in different parts of Greece. Apparently he died one day in August at a ripe old age of natural causes and was put to rest and honored, and everybody gave glory to God. And Jesus is telling him, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And I'm going to skip around here. And then in verse 26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. So the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He's going to be in you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make my home with you. The Father and I are going to make our home with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you, me in you, going to teach you everything you need to know. I'm going to remind you of everything that I've said. My Spirit in you is going to remind you of everything that I've taught you. Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are things that we had not heard before. So it's fascinating. I'm going to pause. I'm going to move on here to this slide. So what did we know about the Holy Spirit before Judas not Iscariot asked this question, before Thaddeus asked this question? Well, it's interesting. We might think that we knew a lot about the Holy Spirit, but actually What we knew about the Holy Spirit pertained to others, not to us. What we're learning in this passage is really how the Holy Spirit pertains to us. So what we knew before is we knew that the Spirit spoke through the prophets. We knew about the virgin becoming pregnant by the supernatural operation of the Spirit. We know about the dove landing on Jesus. We know that we're born again by the Spirit. We know that God is Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We know about the Spirit leading Jesus out in the wilderness for the temptations. We know about the baptism in the name of the Spirit. But we don't know these things about you. This is about you. Jesus is, thank you, Thaddeus. Now, let's be realistic. Jesus was not going to leave these things unsaid. If Thaddeus hadn't asked him, he was going to tell us anyway, because he wanted us to know these things. But what a blessing that God used the human agency of Thaddeus so that you would know that the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you, that Jesus is not going to leave you alone. So Thaddeus wanted to know, why are you going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? No, Jesus said, here's how I'm going to reveal myself to you. Here's how I'm going to be with you. So what we didn't know is what's contained in this passage from John chapter 14, verse 15 through 16, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16. Once you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is with you forever. That's it. Once you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is inside of you forever. So you're walking around. Now, some people understand this, some don't. Some are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, some are not. Some are filled with the Holy Spirit, some are not. But the Holy Spirit is in every one of us who believe in Jesus. Once you're in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is with you forever. Jesus goes on, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Well, how does he remain in us? This is that beautiful part of the Bible where he talks about that he's the true vine, his Father is the gardener, the vine and the branches, we're the branches. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is a sampling of what's in this text. As the Father has loved me, so also have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, because everything that I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. These beautiful truths about the Spirit, about him being with us. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, the Holy Spirit. The Advocate, the Helper, the Paraclete. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. You can see where the idea of the Trinity had to develop, that Jesus is the Spirit is Jesus. Jesus is the Father is Jesus, and the Spirit is the Father, and the Father is the Spirit. You see how that had to develop based on these texts. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And what was that question that was asked by Thaddeus? But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus concludes, Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a while, you will see me. None of this we would know theoretically had it not been for this question asked by this disciple, Thaddeus. Thank you, Thaddeus, for your incredible contribution to what we know about our Lord and our Savior. And so here's the big idea for the day. You are never alone. You are never alone. You and the Holy Spirit of Jesus are a majority in every situation. You're never alone. When your wife has told you to pack up and leave, you are never alone. You and the Holy Spirit are a majority in that situation. When you get the news that your son or your daughter is in the hospital and they've just overdosed on drugs, you are not alone. You and the Holy Spirit of Jesus are a majority in every situation. For those of you who are getting a little older and you're getting the vibe that you're useless, that your time is up, that you're not appreciated or valued anymore, you're not respected anymore for the contributions that you're making, and you feel like you're on the outside looking in, you are not alone. You and the Holy Spirit are a majority in that situation. It's fascinating that Jesus ended up his time on earth with the Great Commission, which we learned that we have because of Matthew's gospel. Thank you, Matthew. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, said Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this same Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, I will always be with you. Now, we have a much better picture of what Jesus meant because of the disciple Thaddeus asking this question, what it means that Jesus is always going to be with us. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Jesus is physically, when you accept Jesus, you know, you don't have a little man crawl inside you. When you accept Jesus, you're accepting his historical birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection as being something that happened in history. And then you're inviting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, to become part of your life. And when you put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you are not alone. And so in every situation, you and the Holy Spirit of Jesus are a majority. So Jesus said, I will always be with you. I will always be with you. How is he always going to be with you? Thank you, Thaddeus, for letting us know that it is the advocate, the Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus, and that everything that Jesus taught us, the Spirit is going to remind us of those things. And we have an advocate with the Father, the Spirit of truth. He's inside of us right now, right now. So I am fond of saying I hike alone. Actually, that's a lie. I do not hike alone. I've never hiked alone in my life. When I go hiking, I take my best friend with me. I take Jesus. I take the Holy Spirit of Jesus with me whenever I go hiking. And so I'm not afraid of grizzly bears. Well, actually I am. But I'm not ultimately afraid of grizzly bears because the Holy Spirit of Jesus and I are a majority in that situation. And I'm not lonely when I'm walking around. I'm having this incredible love feast with the Holy Spirit. And so the reason that I kind of, sometimes I'll go on little hikes. You know, we've done a couple hikes here at the Bible study, but the reason I kind of like even resist the idea of going with someone is that, hey, I can either talk to you or I can talk to him. So, nothing personal, but I love being with the Holy Spirit. And what I would urge and encourage each of us to do, and so my own experience is that several times a day, I'm intentional and I'm intense and I'm disciplined and I get on a project and I get, you know, so several times a day, I get myself in a knot. That's just the way I'm wired. You know, several times a day, I get myself in a knot. And so the way I've described it for decades, it's kind of like a governing principle of mine, is okay, stop and then go up two levels in the outline. Shimmy up the tree. And look around and see what's really going on. Oh, I'm not alone, but I've taken myself out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's at those moments that I reconnect my mind to the Holy Spirit. I just say mental prayers, but I talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, and get reconnected. And I would encourage you, at those moments where you have anxiety overtaking you, where you have loneliness overtaking you, you are not alone. Be anxious for nothing. Fear not, for I have overcome the world. Invite the Holy Spirit back into the conversation. And just walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit as much as you can, and tomorrow much more. This is the secret of the abundant life. And then what happens? You've heard of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of you, I'm sure. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's all of our New Year's resolutions. It's everything we want to be. It's every characteristic that we want. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And because I don't believe Paul was making a comprehensive list, but a representative list, I think we can also add as a fruit of the Spirit, integrity, humility, and perhaps some others. All of these are available to us not through human effort. All of these are available to us by simply allowing the Holy Spirit to live His life in us and with us and through us. Because we're not alone. The big idea of today, you are never alone. You and the Holy Spirit of Jesus are a majority in every situation. Our dearest Father, thank you for Thaddeus asking this question, an awkward question that Jesus edited and then gives us this incredible understanding of the Holy Spirit that we look back and because of the writings of Paul, think we understand a lot about the Holy Spirit, and we do, but at the time, wow, this was like an absolute revelation. And it's a revelation even to us this morning as it reminds us of things we already know. Lord, I pray that today and this week and this month and this year, as each of us get into situations where we do feel stuck for whatever reason or are a little off track, that we would shimmy up the tree, go up a couple levels in the outline, and just remind ourselves we are not alone. That Jesus, your Holy Spirit, is always, always with us. And that together we are a majority, no matter what the situation. And we ask that you give us this wisdom in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.